Thank you, O God, for what you have been doing in our midst all this while. And thank you for the new foundation that you are laying today on Jesus, the solid rock. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Lord, we pray that as we go into your Word this morning, please reveal yourself to us. Reveal yourself to us individually. Reveal yourself to us as a congregation. Lord, begin to envision us by your word. Challenge our hearts by your word. Stir up our faith by your word. And let your word do us good. Let your word be a blessing to our souls, so that after the end of the service today, we will leave this place rejoicing, giving you praise and all the glory. Thank you, our eternal Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I am speaking on the theme, firm foundation. Firm foundation. And I'm taking my main text from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. And we're going to read from verse 46 all through to verse 49. Luke chapter 6, from verse 46 to verse 49. Jesus said here, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me, and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Let us start this morning by talking about the importance of foundation. Every building is as strong as its foundation. And why? Because the foundation sustains the entire structure and helps the building to withstand all kinds of external pressures. So, it is not the beauty of a building that is important, but the foundation. Jesus spoke about the foundation of a house in this passage that we have read. Jesus said, "A wise man builds his house on the solid rock, or a firm foundation. But a foolish man builds his house on the sand, or weak foundation." The same thing happened to the two of them. The same thing happened to the wise man and happened to the foolish man. The same rain, the same flood, the same storm beat against those two houses. It was the foundation of the two houses that made the difference. Do you know that for all of us passing through life, the same things happen to all of us? So we begin to see that the foundation of a man in life matters. Your foundation as a person matters in life. And I ask the question, why do some people feel the pressures of life more than others? For example, virtually all of us here this morning are living in Nigeria. And most of us, if not all of us, are living in Lagos. All of us are spending the same money, the same currency, the naira, isn't it? When there was fuel scarcity, all of us were subject to it. If you talk about power failure, whether when it was NEPA or now that it is PACN, all of us are subject to it, isn't it? And come to think of it, if we talk about Lagos traffic that is so notorious, virtually all of us living in Lagos are subject to all those conditions. But why is it that some people thrive? They succeed. They prosper. And they are always moving forward in spite of all these challenges, while others are always busy complaining and grumbling and murmuring as if they are the only ones living in Nigeria. As if they are the only ones spending naira. As if they are the only one who is subject to fuel scarcity or to power failure or to Lagos traffic. Let me say to you clearly this morning and emphatically that our foundations make the difference. Foundation matters and makes all the difference in life. Our foundations will eventually help us to stand the test of time. Someone said, when things are tumbling down, check the basics. The Yorubas will say, Amukun, Eru Ewo, Oni Okelenwo, Ewole. Friends, God is calling our attention to certain foundational matters. Foundations cannot be taken for granted. However beautiful an edifice anybody may erect, if the foundation is not good enough, if the foundation is not strong, if the foundation is not a firm foundation, it is only a matter of time. What goes up, after a while, will surely come down. That beautiful edifice, that gigantic structure, will eventually collapse. And why? Because of a poor or bad foundation. Let us ask ourselves another question about life. Why do storms occur? Why does God allow rain? That foolish man would have been wondering and would have been asking that question, Lord, why did you allow what happened to me to happen? Why did you allow the rain? Why did you allow the flood? Why did you allow the storm? Why do storms occur? Storms are true to life, and they will definitely come. Friends, we cannot wish it away. You look at it. Every rainy season, there are certain people who live in certain parts of Lagos that are prone to flood. That is why I counsel people, if you want to change your house, if you are looking for a house to rent in Lagos, make sure you do it during the rainy season. Because if you look for a house during the dry season, what you see during that season may not be the true reflection of what you are going to see during the rainy season. If you don't want your mattresses to float and to swim during the rainy season, if you are looking for a house in Lagos, then you better do it during the rainy season. But let us think about it. When such people who are living in places that are prone to floods, when those people are busy complaining and maybe wondering and asking the question, Lord, why do you allow the rain? Why do you allow the flood? They have forgotten that there are farmers also. And what do you think is the prayer point of the farmer? The rain. Every farmer is singing like, my Jack, my Sheik, send down the rain. Isn't it? Oh. So if you are wondering, if you are asking the question, why the rain? Why the flood? For the farmer, the more the rain, the better. The farmer is praying for the rain. But people in flood-prone areas are praying against the rain. So whose prayer point should God answer? But don't forget, even for those people living in flood-prone areas, if God should answer their prayers, and God should withhold back the rain, and there is famine, will they not also suffer? Definitely, they will suffer. So that is why God sends the rain at such times. And that is why we cannot wish the rain away. We cannot wish the flood away. We cannot wish the storms away. Instead, God wants us to prepare for those challenges. Wishing the storm away in itself is foolishness. Apart from the storm, the wind will blow, the flood will gather and beat upon every house, including your house and my house, because that is the way God has ordained it. God simply uses the storm, the flood, and the wind to test our foundation. Please let me say to your neighbor this morning, you shall be tested. There is no student that is promoted without writing examination or tests. And even in the corporate world, in standard offices, even the civil service, promotion is not automatic. You must write promotion exam. In fact, after the promotion exam, you will still attend promotion interview before you are promoted. If in life, teachers always test their students before they promote them. Employers always test their workers before they promote them. Then why do we expect God to promote us in life without testing us? Please help me say to your neighbor again this morning, you shall be tested. So, God uses the flood, the rain, the storms to test how solid, how firm, how strong our foundations are. So, the Bible says, the wise man and the foolish man, most of them, they built houses. And we are also building houses, aren't we? So what are the houses that we are building in life? The house can refer to different aspects of our lives. For example, as a student, your studies constitute a house that is being built. That is why you will notice from very small children, maybe 5 years, 6 years, we start to send them to school. Kindergarten, nursery, primary, and just like that, that child continues to build and build and build. And before you know it, that child is a graduate. Do you know that there are some small children like this who are in our midst today? That is why Jesus Christ said you should never despise them. Some of them are still going to treat some of us as medical doctors. Some of them, you are still going to consult them as engineers when you are constructing. Some of them, you are still going to consult them as lawyers. But now, they are building their houses through study. Kindergarten, nursery, primary, secondary, university, and on like that. And before you know it, that little boy, that little girl, they tell you is now a medical doctor. They tell you is now a lawyer. They tell you she's now an accountant and a banker. She's now a manager in a big bank. And when you walk and say, oh, you are here. And that is life for you. They are building. That is a house that such people are building. What about our career? After graduating from school, then you pick up a job and your career starts. There are people who over time become diplomats who represent nations around the world. They didn't start from there. They started from somewhere. Maybe as a graduate trainee somewhere. And then just like that, they continue to build. You build up your career. That is a house that is being built. Again, marriage constitutes a house. Every person going into marriage should go into it consciously and deliberately. Today, thank God that that is one of the areas where God is using us in this church and ministry to provide marriage counseling to people all over the country. People call from the north, they call from the south, they call from the east, they call from the west. There is a blog online, people sending questions, wanting to know, what do I need to do to make my marriage very strong, solid and firm? Because you realize that marriage in itself is a house that is being built. And you cannot afford to build the foundation of your marriage, to build the foundation of your home on a shoddy foundation. Because when the times of testing come, then such houses will not stand. The only way our houses can stand is to make sure that we build on very, very strong and solid foundation. What about our finances? Everybody spends money. In fact, every child that is born now automatically will be named Owolabi. Because they begin to spend money. Before the delivery says they have started to spend money. Antinata, isn't it? Is it free? You begin to spend money. And how much more when the time of delivery comes? And God bless you. If you have to deliver by CS, and then they suddenly tell you, go and bring 150,000 naira. You say, hey, where am I going to get it? For somehow, you have to get it. You will get it. And you will pay for your own sake and for the sake of that child. So, our finances, they are forms of houses that we are building. So, when you find some people complaining so much about the economy, about the naira, don't forget, some people are complaining about the pound sterling too. Some people are complaining about the dollars too, wherever they are. Whichever currency any nation may be spending, some people are still complaining. But the question is, why do some people complain and others are not? So, if you are complaining, why are you complaining as if you are the only one spending the naira? Recently, I was sharing with the brethren. Sometime last year, I traveled. When I was traveling, I changed $1 for 162 naira. As of today, it's about 235 naira to $1. And we are being told that before the end of this year, the government is still going to devalue the naira further, so that $1 will go for about 250 naira. Let me digress a bit. When I newly came to Lagos to start the church in 1989, I think precisely 1990, we were at a church meeting, a prayer meeting, and there was a prophecy at that meeting. Brethren, listen to me, so that you will know that what we are witnessing in Nigeria today, the hands of God are in them. I don't think we were more than about 50 or thereabout then. A new church just starting then. And we were in a prayer meeting. And we were praying and seeking the face of God. And I think that day we were fasting too. And then there was a prophecy concerning Nigeria. I think around that time, $1 was selling for about 15 naira. And God was saying, Nigeria is corrupt. And Nigeria is sold to sin. And God was calling the nation to repentance. And the Spirit of God said at that meeting, I will never forget it in my life. The Spirit of God said at that meeting, if Nigerians are not careful to return to God and to repent, God said, $1 will yet sell in this country for 100 naira. I'm talking about 1990. At that meeting, thinking about $1 selling for 100 naira was unthinkable. It was like a mission impossible. Something that could never happen in our lifetime. But look at it now. 1990 to 2015, just a space of 25 years. $1 is not just selling for 100 naira, $1 is now selling for over 230 naira. Like I said, it is said that when things are tumbling down, check the basics. Check the foundation. What we are dealing with now are foundational matters. Let me challenge you this morning. In your finances, what is your foundation made of? I have discovered that the only formula to prosper financially is increase your income and decrease your expenditure. But you find so many people living foolishly. Their income is either stagnant or diminishing, and at the same time, they continue to increase expenditure. And that is what is bringing many people into crisis. So we build the house of our finances. We are talking about houses that have been built. And how much more our spiritual lives, our relationship with God, which is the most important part of our lives. Because the truth of the matter is, we can only pray to live long in this world. The truth is, sooner or later, we will leave this world someday to go and be with the Lord. And the Yoruba say, every bird will fly with what it has swallowed. How is your spiritual life? How is your relationship with God? Are you consciously building a relationship with God? Are you deliberately entering into partnership with God? Are you actually conscious of the fact that your earthly life is a dress rehearsal for your eternity? And if I may ask you this morning, how are you preparing for your eternity? Look all around us. So many people are living carelessly. Some are even living recklessly, not mindful of the fact that someday they are going to face their God and their Maker face to face. I say many students fail because they have not laid a firm foundation of hard work and diligence in their studies. The same thing for many in their careers, for many in their marriages. That is why many marriages are now failing and they end in divorce, because many couples only prepare for elaborate and society weddings without adequately preparing for the challenges of marriage proper. It is better for you, if it is possible, at your reception, when you are wedding, that only biscuits and soft drinks are served, and your marriage lasts, and then you grow and you build. Thank God, one former president told us that when he was going to school, he was walking without shoes. But although he started life by walking barefooted to school, that never stopped him to become the president of Nigeria. That never stopped him to aspire to the highest office in the land. Is it not a shame for another man who tells the story that he was wearing designer shoes to school, and now he's a pauper, and now he's a beggar, and now he's living from hand to mouth? Is it not a shame for such people? So I counsel people who want to marry, it is better for you to have a low-key wedding, but a solid and successful marriage, than for you to have a big society wedding. Unfortunately for such people, it is the same press that will cover the wedding and show them on the TV and show them on BC Olatilo show. Ovation will carry them. The same press will break the news of the divorce of such people. May that not be your portion in Jesus' name. We are talking about the importance of foundation in virtually every area of life. Friends, I ask you the question today. How is your foundation? How solid, how strong is your foundation? By the time the rain starts, by the time the flood gathers, and there is storm shaking everywhere, are you sure your house will stand? Are you sure that house you are building, are you sure it will not collapse? Let me again tell us about the problem with bad foundation. One major challenge with a bad foundation is this: it cannot be repaired. You don't repair foundations. Once a foundation is bad, you pull it down. You don't repair faulty foundations. You can only pull them down. That is why the Bible says in Psalm 11, verse 3, says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can any pastor do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can any prophet do? There are so many people all over the world who are running from pillar to post, who are running from meeting to meeting, who are running from camp to camp, who are running from minister to minister. Check most of such people. At the end of the day, do they actually get their breakthrough? For most of them, what they are dealing with is faulty foundation. And the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Many in our world today are grappling with problems of faulty foundations. And what can anybody do about it? Even the righteous. So if someone is dealing with the problem of faulty foundation, bad foundation, what is the solution? Only God can repair a bad or faulty foundation. And He can do it for as many as who call upon Him today. That is why the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can any man do? There is nothing any man can do about a bad or faulty foundation. But take note, the Bible does not say, if the foundation be destroyed, what can God do? The Bible says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Absolutely nothing shall be impossible. So the solution is for such people to come to God. Because only God can repair a faulty foundation. You can imagine, if the foundation of this house is bad, how are we going to raise the house? How are we going to lift up the house and dig into the foundation to effect a repair? Is that possible, humanly speaking? No. But God can do it. Hallelujah. God can do it as we call upon His name. He said in the book of Exodus chapter 33 verse 19, He said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. If the foundation of your life, any area of your life, be faulty, may the Lord show you mercy today. Some people have laid bad foundations in their studies when they were students. You will see some little children, as their parents are taking them to school, it is like somebody dragging a goat to cross a road. The more you pull the goat, the more the goat will scatter his leg on the road. God help you if a trailer is not coming. You find some children, as they are going to school, they will be crying. Everybody on the road will be talking to them. Ah, what is wrong with this child? And the mother will say, he doesn't want to go to school. And they will be like, you must go to school for your future to be bright. But some of them, reluctantly, but over time, they drop out. They drop out. The problems many people are facing today is because they dropped out of school. Let me quickly digress again and tell you a story. The story of two horses. These two horses were brought from the wild, and they were brought to town to be trained for the king. And the training was hard. The training was difficult. The training was tough. The training was rough. And one day, one of the horses said, this thing is too much. I cannot bear it anymore. Just jumped over the fence and ran back into the bush. But the second horse waited and endured the pain. You know, the way they train a horse, they will tie bridle around his head. That shows that that horse cannot eat at will or any time. The horse can only eat when the owners want it to eat or do anything. Over time, the horse was well trained. You know that horses are a set of animals that can be trained to understand man and to communicate with man. That is why they use horses to fight battles. They use horses to play sports, polo. They use horses in parade grounds, you know, when royalty comes to town. And then the horse will be marching and be galloping and be parading. Horses can be beautiful at such times. But I tell you, it takes hard and difficult training to turn a wild horse into a skilled horse. The first horse couldn't endure the training and so jumped the fence and went back into the bush. But the second horse stood and went through all the difficult training. Then came the day of festival, and this horse was decorated. You know that when horses are used in parade grounds, they decorate them. They put beautiful attires around this horse, and the drummers were beating, and the trumpeters were sounding their trumpets so loud, and the horse was galloping and dancing, and they would give this horse a command, and it would obey, and it would respond. And the noise of the celebration sounded so loud that the other horse that ran away that other time heard it in the bush and tiptoed. What is going on? What is happening? And then came and then stood by the side of the bush to see what was going on. And then he saw his old friend. Say, wow, if I had known, had I known that this is what these people wanted to make of me, to turn me into, I would have stayed. As you are listening to me this morning, I know there are people here. As you look back at your past, you look at certain things you regret. If I had known, imagine someone honking pure water on Lagos Road, and as somebody called, woman come, or man come, and winds down the side glass of his car, you suddenly discover that it's your old classmate in primary school. How ashamed will you be? That is what we are talking about this morning. Foundation matters. Parents, let us make sure that we give sound and solid foundation to our children so that these children will not live to regret tomorrow in the future. Much of what we are doing in this place is to give people sound and solid foundation. We cannot continue to complain about the problems of Nigeria. The time has come for some of us to arise and to become solutions to these problems that we see all around us. We're talking about foundational matters. But I say to you this morning, even when you look at some of the things that have happened to you in the past, you regret. It is better to be a school dropout than to be a life dropout. Many have made career mistakes. Many people now look back. They realize that they once had golden opportunities, which they forfeited. Not too long ago, I went for a meeting somewhere, and some other men were pointing a man to me. And that man actually came to me, and he was requesting that I should buy him drink. And someone said, you see that man? Said he was once a major cement dealer. Said he was a major distributor, that trailers were bringing cement for him. Said, but his ruin was women. Said, only God knows how many women he went into. I couldn't reconcile what the man was telling me, because I look at this man just roaming the streets, doing nothing, and begging for money from his fellows around. But he was once a great man. A lot of people have mismanaged money. Somebody said, I laid you low. Another person said, Ogbara lowo, only to bagbara, iwaju le ekoja, bele fun. To ba de te bele fun, to ba shon koja, o le ma wa mo. Fundamental mistakes. Foundational mistakes. That is why many Nigerians are party people. Little money, we begin to throw parties all over the place. And at the end of the day, you know, like an old song, some people say, I remember when I was a soldier. It's better for you to sing, I remember when I was a soldier. It's not good to sing, I remember when I was a rich man. We are talking about foundational problems. But I'm saying to you this morning, even if you have made such very costly mistakes, even if you are having such foundational problems, the Lord will show you mercy. Amen. Without God, there is nothing anybody can do to help you. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. God can give you another chance. God can give you a new beginning. God can start all over again with you. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and not of yourselves." It says it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is by the grace of God. Even those who have good foundations in life, it is by the grace of God. May the grace of God cover you today in Jesus' name. Today, God can show you mercy. Please turn to Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. And I want all of us to see what is there before we bring this message to a close. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved." So the question is, will you call upon the name of the Lord today? If you will call upon the Lord today, the Lord will rescue you. The Lord will deliver you. The Lord will give to you another opportunity in life. The Lord will give to you a new foundation in life in Jesus' name. Before I close, let's talk about the danger of fair weather. Fair weather sometimes could be dangerous in the sense that it makes men take things for granted and doesn't allow them to see the storm that is coming, and so prepare for it. A great storm is coming upon our world. You know, when there is fair weather, people take things for granted. When things are going smoothly, when things are going nicely, a lot of people don't prepare for emergencies. A lot of people don't prepare for accidents. But such things happen when people don't prepare for it. So many people, when they are working in big places, a lot of them don't take the time to prepare for retirement. A lot of them don't save during the rain for the dry season. And suddenly, there is retrenchment. Suddenly, there could be an accident and the person is amputated. And the man will suddenly realize that, wow, I never knew that life could be rough like this. That is the danger of fair weather. So I warn all of us who presently are having fair weather. The fact that you are having fair weather today does not mean that storm will not come tomorrow. Why don't you prepare during your fair weather for the coming storms? And for every one of us in the world today, I say a great storm is coming upon our world, whether we like it or not. It is a time when God shall judge and punish the sin of man. Only those who have run for cover under the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross at Calvary shall be saved. That is why we say emphatically, you must be born again. John chapter 3 and verse 3. And in that same book of John chapter 3, come to verse 18, the Bible says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6 says, "All our righteousness before God, they are like a filthy rag." Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So what is the way out? What is the way out? God saw that there was nothing man could do to save himself from the stranglehold of sin and Satan. That was why he sent Jesus to shed his blood and to give his life for all of us at the cross at Calvary. And like God said to the children of Israel at the time of Moses, he said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." The same thing God is saying to the world today. The only reason why any soul will not go to hell is that that soul takes cover under the blood of Jesus. Virtually every man who refuses Jesus, every woman who rejects Jesus will blame himself, will blame herself eventually when man comes to face God in judgment. So anyone who rejects Jesus Christ is simply rejecting God's only means of salvation from eternal damnation. Every family knows their members. Every school has a register for their students. Every office has a list of their workers. They have a payroll. You can't go to any office and say, pay me my salary. If you have not been employed there, if your name is not on their payroll, you cannot go to any school and go and sew their uniform if your name is not in the register. And you know the way they say it in families in Yoruba land? Wani, gogo yonon so baba baba, shimon baba mo yomo, tombi. Is that not so? Everybody may be calling daddy, daddy. But the father knows how many children he has. The Bible says the foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, God knows those that are his. There is a book in heaven. The Bible calls it the book of life. Unless your name is registered, you can never be admitted to heaven. Ultimately, when we die and we come before the gate of heaven, the Bible says books shall be opened. And this particular book, the book of life, shall be opened. And the Bible says, any man, any woman, any old, any young, whose name is not found in that book of life, shall be thrown into the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone. Man's time on earth is already far spent and beginning to wind up. And so, there is not much time left again. Virtually all the signs of the end times given in scripture are almost fulfilled already. But many in the world, by the way they live, are still unprepared for the second coming of Christ to the world. And listen to this. The first time Jesus came into the world, he came as a savior. But this second time, he's coming as a judge and a ruler. Let us see the way Jesus Christ himself described it. In Matthew chapter 24, I quickly read from verse 35. It says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took all of them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief will come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his own household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. May that not be your lot in Jesus' name. The lesson in this passage we have read is that we must not be so absorbed with any activity of life that we forget the return of Jesus, the judge of the world. So, as we are about to pray this moment, the question is, how prepared are you for the second coming of Christ? Are you living your life every day conscious of the fact that Jesus Christ can come at any time. Do you know that the day Jesus Christ will come, some people will be driving their cars, and then one will be taken, one will be left. Some people will be flying in the air. Some will be taken, some will be left. Some people will be in the ship on the high seas. Some will be taken, some will be left. The Bible says two people will be lying down on the bed. One will be taken, one will be left. We want to pray today so that you will not be the person that will be left behind. So that while on others, God is calling, He will not pass you by. We want to lay a sure foundation now. We want to lay a firm foundation now. So that when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Judge of the universe, when He appears again, so that we shall not be found wanting. Please rise up on your feet as we pray this hour. I want all of us to now begin to pray. First, we are going to start to pray. Yes, I have showed you the various houses that we are building. Students are building in their studies. Professionals are building in their careers. Businessmen, businesswomen, traders, artisans, technicians are building. What type of foundation are you laying? What type of materials are you building with? What foundation have you laid in your marriage, in your finances, and much more in your spiritual life and your relationship with God? I have told you, no man can do anything about a bad or faulty foundation. That is why we have come before God today. God can touch your foundation today. God can repair that faulty foundation. Those areas of your life that when you remember, you regret. You say, oh, how I wish I never took that decision. How I wish I never took that step. Open your mouth and begin to talk to God now. Pray for mercy. Begin to pray for mercy. And say, Father, I need your mercy. This is the time to pray. Don't keep quiet. Open your mouth and cry to God. Blind Bartimaeus cried to him. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Open your mouth and pray. I said, Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy upon me, O God. Come and repair the faulty foundations of my life. Faulty foundations. From the time I was born, Jabez was cursed by his mother. And everywhere he went, he had sorrow. But one day, Jabez came to God. He said, oh Lord, that you will help me, that you will deliver me, oh God, from this sorrow, so that sorrow will no longer trail my life. Begin to pray. Every bad foundation from my childhood, every bad foundation from the time I was growing up, every bad foundation in my studies, every bad foundation in my job, every bad foundation in my marriage, every bad foundation, Lord, in my finances. Oh, I see people spending money around, but for me, Father, my bed is too tight. Oh Lord, it is too tight. How I pray that you will enlarge my coast. Jabez prayed to God and said, Lord, enlarge my coast. Enlarge my coast. Repair the faulty foundation of my life, oh God. So that I will no longer live in regret. Open your mouth to the Lord. Open your mouth to the Lord. Ask God to intervene in the affairs of your life today. Say, Baba, undertake for me. Undertake for me, oh God. If you don't help me, who will help me? If you don't deliver me, Baba, who will deliver me? Arise unto my help, O God. Arise for me, O God. Jehovah, help me. Show me mercy. According to the promise of your word that says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Say, God, show me mercy. Oluwa, idekira anugba. E shanu fun mi, Baba. For water me, oh, Jesus, Baba. Now it's time for God to minister to you. If in the course of the message, the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes to see that you are dealing with a foundational problem. Parents, you see it in your children that your child does not have interest in his studies. Or is it a particular child that is learning trade? That child is lacking interest. Is losing interest. Oh, you need to bring that child forward this morning. You are an undergraduate. You see that your interest in your studies is waning. When you are supposed to go to class, it's like there is a demonic oppression upon your life that makes you to stay back in your room. Or that makes you to even oversleep. You are a professional. Every now and then, your bosses, they complain about you. Faulty foundations in finances. Some will say, I don't know what is wrong with my finances. I don't know what is wrong with my finances. It's like the devourer is at work against your finances. As we take that song, two or three more times, once you realize today that you are dealing with a foundational problem, without any shame, without any shyness, as the singers on just run to the front. Jacob heard that angel of God. He said, I will not let you go except you bless me. Jacob was dealing with a foundational problem. And so the angel asked him, what is your name? And that day, the foundation of Jacob was touched. And Jacob never remained the same again. The same miracle will take place in your life today as you step out forward for God to minister to you. As you sing those songs, a couple of times more, please don't step out of your seat and come out. For water me, for water me, oh, Jesus, and for water me, oh, Baba, and for water me, oh, Jesus, and for water me, oh, Baba. Majenwa bakana e for water me o baba majenwa bakana e for water me o e gbo wole mi ko wole mi o jesu e gbo wole mi o baba e gbo wole mi o jesu Ego wole mi o baba kaye bi ma se wa bakan na mo ego wole mi o baba e ma je nwa bakan na mo ego wole mi o ego wole mi bo wole mi o yesu ego wole mi o baba Ego wole mi o Jesu ego wole mi o baba e ma je nwa bakana mo ego wole mi o baba kaye mi ma se wa bakana mo ego wole mi o baba I want some of the team leaders to please come and form a wall behind these people who are standing out in front. As we trust the Lord to reach out unto these ones. As we trust the Lord to break yokes. As we trust the Lord to set them free, to deliver them. As we trust the Lord to effect divine repairs in every faulty foundation represented by these people who are standing out here in God's presence this hour. Let us pray. Thank you, everlasting Father, for this hour. Thank you, Father, for these ones who have responded to your voice and to your call in this place today. Oh, eternal Father, they have realized that they are grappling with foundational matters. And Lord, you have pointed out to us clearly today that only you can repair a faulty foundation. You said you will have mercy on whom you will have mercy. Father, these ones who are standing out here today, show them your mercy in the name of Jesus. Every faulty foundation. Foundations that were laid at conception. Hear the word of God today. I apply the blood of Jesus upon you. And today, by the authority of heaven, I command divine repairs upon you. In the name of Jesus. Foundations that were laid in the womb. Masekeri and Delebo. Foundations that were laid in the womb. I apply the blood of Jesus upon you this hour. Hear the word of the Lord. Receive the touch of God. Receive the touch of God. Receive the touch of God. And be repaired. And be repaired. In the name of Jesus. Foundations that were buried in wrong names and wrong titles that have been given. Oh, some of you have been labeled by people around you. How be it with wrong labels? Today, those wrong labels, they are blotted out in the name of Jesus. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. From today, every wrong label of men upon your life, they are blotted out in the name of Jesus. From today, you shall be called by the name of the Lord. You shall be named by the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus shall avail for you. In the name of Jesus. Every faulty foundation in studies. Every faulty foundation in jobs and careers. Every faulty foundation in business. Every faulty foundation in marriage. Every faulty foundation in finances. Every leaking pus. I apply the blood of Jesus to you today. You spirit of the devourer. Today you are rebuked. Today you are rebuked in the name of Jesus. Mighty Father, show these ones your mercy. Show these ones your mercy. And let the foundations of their lives be repaired in the name of Jesus. From today, you will not remain the same again. From today, the Lord will give you a new beginning. The Lord of hosts himself shall perform it. To the praise and glory of his name and his name alone. Thank you, Father, for answered prayers. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.